I want you to listen to me. I want you to digest this.
Yeah, because things are just popping right now. Things are starting to cultivate. Things are starting to grow.
I have a lot of things I want to get off my chest.
The Rock did Vince McMahon a favor, and he whooped that red and yellow candy ass.
There's one thing you're better at than I am, and that's kissing Vince McMahon's ass. You're as good as kissing Vince's ass as Hulk Hogan was. I don't know if you're as good as Dwayne, though. He's a pretty good ass kisser.
Wait a minute. Are you kidding, The Rock?
Yeah, wrestling is a rough sport, and I am the roughest one in the sport. I am the number one wrestler in the world today.
The only thing that's real is me, and the fact that day in and day out, for almost 6 years, I have proved to everybody in the world that I am the best on this microphone, in that ring, even at commentary. Nobody can touch me.
The cream of the crop. Nobody does it better.
The fact that Dwayne is in the main event of WrestleMania next year, and I'm not, makes me sick.
Last year, WrestleMania, 68,000 strong. 68,000 of you mother Canuckers booing The Rock out of the building.
And the beat goes on, yeah. And the beat goes on. Because I am the greatest Intercontinental Heavyweight Champion that ever lived. And I am the greatest professional wrestler that ever lived.
I'm the best in the world.
It doesn't matter what you people think.
And I'd like to think that maybe this company will be better after Vince McMahon's dead. But the fact is, it's going to get taken over by his idiotic daughter and his doofus son-in-law. The wheel's going to keep turning, and I understand that.
Because the time is getting near.
The jabroni beaten now! Pie-eating, trailblazing, eyebrow-raising, stronger than a bear, faster than a buck, the biggest thing to hit Canada because the Maple Leafs suck.
Wow, man, freaked out!
Hours, minutes, and even seconds will fly by as you're listening to the IWC podcast. What does IWC stand for? Anything you want! And we're here to talk wrestling. So if you're down with that, then sit back and dig it! And with that said, I am James Borbath. I do a Randy Savage impression that I have been told is pretty good. Hopefully you think so as well. If not, you're just laughing at me. Either way, welcome to the IWC podcast. It does not stand for Internet Wrestling Community. It can stand for anything else you want, though. And we'll be here talking wrestling. Myself and my guest at this time, Chris Walder, who will be joining me for these every week, talking pro wrestling.
What's up, everybody? Chris Walder here, representing WrestlingRumors.net. Dad Fryder there, but I'm super happy to be a part of this podcast, and don't make me do a wrestling impression because I do not want to burst your eardrums.
All right, well, no, we don't want to do that. Maybe we'll talk some Hall of Fame later, and you can do the Ultimate Warrior promo from WrestleMania 6, which was always a favorite of everyone.
Oh, my God, that would warp everyone's mind.
That is one of the most disturbing promos of all time, especially if you were a kid at the time that promo went down. You thought the Ultimate Warrior was going to kill Hulk Hogan, and that may happen at the Hall of Fame. Who knows?
Probably, yeah. You got to give yourself more credit, buddy. That was more than a somewhat decent Savage impression.
It is pretty good. I actually went out as the Macho Man as a little child and cleaned up on candy doing that impression for the neighbors and, you know, videotaped and the whole nine yards. I really had a good Halloween that year. But that being said, the Macho Man, not in the Hall of Fame. We'll rant about that some other day. Someone else who is not in the Hall of Fame, not even in the WWE, and still not after returning to Chicago, Illinois, the one and only CM Punk does not show up on Monday and presumably is out for WrestleMania. Your thoughts on the fact he's not going to be in Mania, and then we'll get into what happened on Raw.
Well, it's a little bit disappointing because I turned on Monday Night Raw with the expectation that, you know, if CM Punk is ever going to come back, it's going to be in Chicago, it's going to be on this episode of Raw. There were reports coming out, obviously, that from credible journalists in the wrestling field.
Dave Meltzer,
yes, of course, and he said that, you know, Punk, there's a really strong chance that he's going to be there, although he did leave some doubt that perhaps his source wasn't entirely credible. But I sat there through the entire 3 hours. I thought, you know what, after the opening segment with Paul Heyman, maybe that was just to get the fans, you know, off of the CM Punk trail, maybe just get them to forget about it for a little bit, and maybe he'll close out the show. It didn't happen. It was just kind of underwhelming because I'm a CM Punk guy. I love CM Punk. I think the business is better when he's there, but he's not going to be at WrestleMania, and it just sucks.
Yeah, and WrestleMania is looking like it's going to suck, and we'll get into that as well, but we'll stay on this Punk train for a little bit. I thought the WWE booked a very smart show based on what they did in Chicago. Fans ended up totally pissed off at the end, but the WWE was able to accomplish their goal, which was to get out of Chicago once they knew that CM Punk wasn't going to be there. You had the classic heel manager coming out saying the truth, as it turned out, with Paul Heyman saying CM Punk was not going to be there. But because it's Paul Heyman, the smart wrestling fan says, no, you're a bad guy, and the last time we saw you two together, he beat the snot out of you. Of course you're going to lie.
Well, I'm just glad that Paul Heyman was able to turn the whole CM Punk story into further ammunition for the Undertaker-Brock Lesnar feud going into New Orleans, because I was like, I was marking out for that, because only in his mind could he take something in front of a hostile Chicago crowd that's dying to see Punk, and then say, you know what, not only is it your fault, fans, it's also the Undertaker's fault. And God, I sat back in front of my TV and I was just blown away. I thought that was incredible.
That's the storyline pitch that Paul Heyman made, but in reality, who is at fault here? Because Punk obviously made his thoughts pretty clear in interviews with Ariel Helwani, and then the Saturday before Royal Rumble, he had an appearance at a Comic-Con in, I believe it was Portland, Oregon. And some of the things he expressed were, one, not just him, but everyone has been told nothing about what's going to happen with their payoffs for pay-per-views as a result of the WWE Network. That alone, to me, is a good reason to walk away and say, you know what? Till you can tell me what I'm going to get paid, I'm not all that encouraged about being here. Another thing he brought up was the booking in this company, which seems to be more than ever by the seat of their pants, and it's just not the same. I did the Randy Savage impression off the top. One of the greatest angles the WWE ever did was the one-year build to Savage and Hogan. Brilliant. We don't see that anymore. You got it with Rock and John Cena, but it wasn't the same thing. And just in terms of long-term booking, you don't see it anymore. And then just the fact CM Punk was a beaten-up man, and it showed, I think, ever since that Undertaker match, really. He's never been the same, I don't think.
Well, I think a lot of things kind of added up to the fact that CM Punk eventually just called it quits. I mean, I noticed personally watching his matches, ever since he got into that feud with Paul Heyman and Curtis Axel, from that point on, his matches have just been subpar, and it's as if his heart isn't into it, as well as his body. I mean, he's been through a lot. He hasn't had a lot of time off. We all know of his historic WWE Championship reign. He was on all the house shows. He was on all the TV, all the pay-per-views. But at the same time, most fans know that his contract was going to expire in July. You know, WrestleMania is just around the corner. I think no matter how frustrated he was, I think he handled it the wrong way. And I think the company needs him at this point, but he doesn't need the company. I think he's reached that point where he's saved up his money. He's made a reputation for himself where he could leave and do other things and be successful at that. But at the same time, there's a right and wrong way to do things. And I think he did things the wrong way.
See, I disagree. I think he did it the right way, because once that WWE Network gets going, there's never going to be a time where you're going to have leverage anymore. And the fact that they hadn't explained at all not just to CM Punk, to every guy in this roster, mm-hmm. how their pay is going to be affected. That, to me, is like, you know what? If you don't have an answer for that, I don't have an answer for you. And maybe I just don't need to be here. And it's almost come full circle in the 3 years since the pipe bomb promo. Because I think he's right back to the place where he was at before he left. He was going to leave at that time. And I think he's right back there again. And it's unfortunate.
Well, he's not the guy anymore. I mean, he was always going to be behind John Cena. But now you have a guy like Daniel Bryan coming up. The company's pushing Randy Orton. Batista's back in the picture. So CM Punk was kind of just, his stock was falling, if ever so slightly. So I think that also factors into things as well. And like you said, with the WWE Network, none of the guys on the roster really know at this point what their pay is going to be like, because they made a lot of money off of the pay-per-views, and now the network changes all of that. But you don't see everyone going to Vince or whatnot and just quitting because of that fact. I think CM Punk is one of the few that, you know, like I mentioned before, he has the money. He doesn't need to be there anymore, so he has the luxury of saying, you know what, screw you, I'm leaving. I don't like the way things are going storyline-wise with my pay. I need a break. I'm going to go. But for the rest of the roster, who knows? We don't know how everyone else feels about this. We don't know how the pay is eventually going to turn out. But, you know, just the whole thing with CM Punk is just one big cluster, and I wish we would have some sort of definitive answer. We haven't seen him on Twitter. Like, he hasn't tweeted since this whole thing has happened. Maybe he's just going to forever hide in the shadows and we'll never hear from him again.
The only thing he's done publicly where he hasn't been, like, paparazzied was he went to the UFC show for Ronda Rousey's fight.
Right.
But had a very low profile when he was there, to the point that I didn't even know he was there until after. But this brings up a larger issue, and it's one that's been in wrestling for a long, long time. And it's the idea, wrestling has no union. It doesn't have that collective bargaining that we both cover basketball as well as talk about wrestling. And you have that collective bargaining agreement in the NBA. And way back in the day, probably before you were ever born, and sadly I was born at this time, but Jesse the Body Ventura tried to get a union going in the WWE, and the guy who stopped it was the guy who just returned to the WWE, his home, Hulk Hogan. And it almost happened back then, and that's why, I don't know if fans realize this, but that's why there was always that heat and friction between Vince McMahon and Jesse the Body Ventura, and Hogan for that matter. And when you look at these guys, like, they don't have anything to fall back on. Yeah, the WWE takes care of stuff, like, when it comes to their medicals and stuff like that, but they don't have to. They're not obligated to. And, you know, the same thing goes with their pay. And I just think, you know, CM Punk, in a way, whether people in that locker room realize it or not, even if it was for a selfish reason, was taking a stand that needed to be taken, and it might have had a little more impact if he had some other people on board with him.
Well, look, you know, CM Punk has reached that point now where he's going to be gone, and he's going to be gone for a long time.
I think he's gone for good. I don't think he's coming back.
I disagree. I think he will come back. You know, he's such a wrestling guy. I just think he's worn out mentally. You know, his body needs a break. He really needs to get off the road. So I think give him a year. Give him a year or two. He'll come back. He'll be back in the main event of, you know, put him in WrestleMania. He'll be kind of like one of those Chris Jericho guys where he can come back for a few months, do a couple of programs, put some guys over if need be, and, you know, make some money and then go for another 6 or 7 months. He'll be one of those guys. He's not going to be like a Batista or The Rock where he's going to go off and make some movies and he'll make a name for himself in Hollywood, and when he comes back it'll be a big deal to not only the WWE universe but the world in general. So, yeah, this isn't the last we've seen of CM Punk, I guarantee it.
Well, I think he'll show up somewhere. Some people think he might show up in MMA. He could even go back to ROH. If money isn't the thing, he could easily show up in that promotion and do whatever the heck he wanted. And there's a lot of guys to have fun with down in ROH right now with the way things have gone. They have Chris Hero now. They have AJ Styles and some of the regular guys like Kevin Steen, Michael Bennett. There's some neat guys down there. We're not going to talk ROH today, though, but just throwing them some love on the podcast here. The one guy who has stuck around, even though he has been buried unmercifully since SummerSlam, the one and only Bearded Wonder, Daniel Bryan. I've never seen an angle like this in my history of watching wrestling, where a guy has just been so consistently buried. And I'm sorry, like, people are saying, oh, well, why are people whining he's getting a match with Triple H? And yeah, that is a special thing and a big thing. But at the same time, 6 months of this where he's been just buried and basically booted out of the title picture, I just don't know if beating Triple H at WrestleMania is enough for me to feel vindicated as a fan of this guy who's really built himself up from nothing, much like CM Punk. They come from the same places. They have very different ways about going about getting what they want. And that's the biggest contrast between the two. But what are your thoughts on Daniel Bryan versus Triple H, which is apparently where we're going?
Well, I mean, ever since SummerSlam, when he was screwed out of the title with Triple H pedigreeing him and Orton gets the gold and whatnot, and from that point on, it's been very frustrating because we don't know what exactly is going to happen with Daniel Bryan. And like you said, right now, it looks like we're going to get Daniel Bryan versus Triple H eventually. But I don't think that rules out the fact that Daniel Bryan could still be in the title picture. I like the idea, and I've tossed it around on Twitter a couple of times, that you get Daniel Bryan versus Triple H, you have it as one of the earlier matches in the card, and then you throw in the stipulation that if Daniel Bryan wins, you toss him into the main event, you make it a triple threat. Because, there's no way that the WWE title match at WrestleMania is going to remain Batista versus Randy Orton. There's no way they can get away with that. They're both heels. We saw on Raw this past Monday night when Daniel Bryan faced Batista a little bit of a tease of a triple threat match, even though it culminated with Triple H attacking Daniel Bryan and laying him out. I like that idea. I actually do think it's going to happen. And if it doesn't, you still get Daniel Bryan versus Triple H. It ends that story. But at the same time, with all of the crap we've kind of endured since SummerSlam, I think the only way you can end this is having Daniel Bryan close WrestleMania, get 80,000 people chanting yes, and he's holding up both of those titles. Because that's the only way this thing works. You can't have him win the gold at Extreme Rules. You can't have him win it the next night on Raw. It has to be at WrestleMania.
Daniel Bryan has been tearing it up for the last 6 months without getting the payoff that fans want to see him get. And unlike CM Punk, he is a guy that works within the system. And rightly or wrongly, he's done that all the way along. He took a gimmick with Kane that most people thought was a burial. He made something out of it. He's taken this thing where he's been constantly buried and put down, and he's made something out of it, and he has gotten that yes chant over to a level that I don't think anyone could have believed. And the one thing I took away from that Raw, other than all the CM Punk stuff, was that promo that Daniel Bryan cut with Triple H and Stephanie in the ring. The best mic work I have ever seen from Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, it's certainly up there. I mean, I can go back to one of his promos before SummerSlam with John Cena when he was in the ring, and he said he couldn't slap him because he wasn't a professional wrestler, and I think that's just as good. But, yeah, I mean, based off of Raw, they sort of teased a little bit of a triple threat going on at WrestleMania, possibly throwing Bryan in there with Batista and Randy Orton, but I still don't know how they'd go get to that destination. I mean, it looks now that it's going to be Triple H and Daniel Bryan.
You know what I think kills that a little bit for me? The fact that they teased Daniel Bryan versus HBK.
Right, that's
because true. That took away from what a match versus Hunter would have been. It would have been a great match to have. It's the right match to have the way the storyline has gone. Whether you want to advance him on to the world title match is a whole other debate, but that match would have been so special. But the fact that they teased in the summer, well, or the fall, I can't remember exactly where it was, but Shawn Michaels was teasing the fact he might fight Daniel Bryan, and if Shawn Michaels was not on board, which by all his comments that we've heard, especially recently, he made it just at the NXT arrival, he has no interest in ending his quote-unquote wrestling retirement. It's not going to happen. And if the WWE knew that and teased that, I asked the question why. It made no sense. Like, and let's face it, if there's anyone that knows, it's Triple H when it comes to Shawn Michaels. If he knows Shawn Michaels isn't going to wrestle a match, why on earth would he allow that to happen? Which makes me think maybe at some point Shawn Michaels or Triple H tried to kind of make that match happen. And it sounds like more like Triple H tried to lean on Shawn and say, yeah, you really want to have one more match, come on. And Shawn just basically stuck to his guns. But that, the fact that that actually made the airwaves, I think takes a lot away from the whole Triple H Daniel Bryan angle, because you had the classic matchup there. You had the student and the teacher. You had Shawn Michaels, who trained Daniel Bryan, and, you know, the best friend of Triple H versus Daniel Bryan. I think that the fact that was teased takes so much away from a Triple H versus Daniel Bryan matchup.
No, you hit the nail right on the head, but at the same time, I think it was always going to be wishful thinking to expect HBK getting back in the ring. I think it was too good to be true from the very beginning. Shawn Michaels versus Daniel Bryan is any fan's dream, and we all know the history they've had working in back in Texas, I believe, when Daniel Bryan was just getting into the industry. We know HBK taught him how to wrestle. It sucks because I think that match would have easily gotten more over than what we're going to get with Triple H and Daniel Bryan. But, you know, ultimately, that's what we're going to get. Shawn Michaels is going to stay retired, and that's going to be the case for the foreseeable future. I don't know what way you could possibly get him or convince him to get back in a wrestling ring at this point.
I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, Shawn Michaels kind of was CM Punk before CM Punk was CM Punk, in the sense... Now, Shawn had a lot of addictions and drug trouble, obviously not the case with CM Punk, but in that rebellious, defiant attitude, Shawn Michaels was that guy before CM Punk ever was around, and it seems clear to me that Shawn Michaels has stuck his feet in the sand and has no interest in coming back, wants his last match to be against The Undertaker, and probably one of the contributing factors to that is probably Ric Flair, who didn't honor that when Shawn Michaels had a match with him and ran to TNA to collect a paycheck and wrestled some more, which I think probably deep down hurt Shawn Michaels, because that meant a lot to him, right, to have that match with Ric Flair, and I think he doesn't want to do that to fans like Ric Flair did it to him.
And Shawn Michaels mentioned that in his retirement promo on Raw, because he told the fans, hey, I know how you all perceive retirements in the wrestling industry, but I'm going to stay true to my word. I'm going to stay true to my word to The Undertaker. I'm going to stay out of the wrestling ring for as long as I possibly can. And he's honoring that, unlike somebody like Ric Flair.
Yeah, and, I mean, it's a long list. And Mick Foley, and, you know, on and on. The Hulkster, and, you know, whoever else is retired, come back, retired, come back. Like, it's an ongoing theme in wrestling. It is, like Jesse Ventura said back in the day, wrestling is the Hotel California. You can check in, but you never really check out. And it's true for a great many people.
Shawn Michaels could still go in the ring, but you know, if he wants to stay off the radar and just do the random appearance on Raw or go help out in developmental and stick to his hunting, that's fine. He's earned that right.
Yes, and Lord knows he does not dress like a wrestler anymore. We are well aware of that. So that being said, when we look at this main card, we touched on the World Heavyweight Title match that no one wants to see. We've got Brock and Taker as well. This match scares the hell out of me because I don't think it's going to be as good as everyone thinks it's going to be.
Agreed.
Because Brock can't protect Taker the way the guys he's faced in the last 5 years can. Shawn Michaels, Triple H, CM Punk all did a masterful job of making us forget that The Undertaker is an old, old man. And especially Punk, not that we're putting over Punk today, but, you know, the way he would cut off all the Undertaker spots that he would normally do, and then he'd do some of them himself, it was brilliant. That was a brilliant match, the way they constructed it. Brock Lesnar is the same guy on that same card that knocked himself out within a minute versus Triple H. And Lord knows what he's going to do to The Undertaker in this match. And the thing that scares me the most is it might end up being a very safe match because both of them know all the MMA stuff. A WWE crowd with MMA moves in the match that is hyped as the biggest thing on WrestleMania, I don't know if that's going to work for people. The WWE crowd is not an MMA crowd. Not all of them, anyway. Not enough of them.
Well, I'm still holding out a little bit of hope that we get some sort of stipulation added to this match. I'd love to see it be no holds barred, no disqualification, because I think that kind of setting works well for The Undertaker and Brock Lesnar. I don't want to see them in a basic wrestling match.
I think it's worse, though. I think Brock could hurt him more that way.
You know what? Look, the feud itself, Brock Lesnar versus The Undertaker, this was cool back in 05 or 06 or whenever it happened when they had their Hell in a Cell matches and their, what was it, like a biker chain match. That was cool. And you know what? I could have probably lived with Lesnar versus Undertaker at the WrestleMania after when they had the little walk-by at the UFC pay-per-view. I think that could have worked as well. But now, in 2014, Lesnar versus Undertaker, it just doesn't do it for me. Like, especially the last 5 years, we've had two classic matches with Shawn Michaels, followed by two classic matches with Triple H, and then you have the battle with CM Punk last year, which is still underrated. It's one of the better matches he's ever had. And now you get Brock Lesnar. There's no intrigue to me because I know that Lesnar's not going to go over. If this streak ever ends, which I do feel it will one day, it's not going to go to a guy who's a part-timer who only shows up, you know, once every couple of months or so. It's going to go to someone who could use that recognition to further their career. So with that being said, Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar, you know, two thumbs down for me at this point.
Well, please God, don't let that person be John Cena. And we'll get into John Cena and his match with Bray Wyatt at the WrestleMania that is going to happen. A very interesting match, given that John Cena's been the main event the last 2 years. This obviously not even close to the main event, probably fourth from the top.
Mm-hmm.
I think a big, big moment for Bray Wyatt. John Cena really has nothing to lose. This is Bray Wyatt's show, and if he hits it out of the ballpark, he's going to be a top-level guy for a long time. If he doesn't, I think he's got some serious problems.
Yeah, I think he hit the nail on the head. At this point of his career, I don't think John Cena really needs to be in that main event title picture, especially at WrestleMania, because there's so many other guys that you can get away with putting in that spot. Like you said, this is more about Bray Wyatt than anything. This is going to put him over, but he needs to go over in the match. It can't be just, well, Bray Wyatt put up one hell of a fight. He had an above-average match against the best guy in the company right now, the guy that's been on the top for the last 10 years or so. No, he has to win at WrestleMania, and this is a guy that you can build as your top heel for the next 3 to 4 years. I mean, we don't know how much staying power he has with this gimmick, but right now, in this moment, he's one of the best I've seen in a very long time. His work on the microphone is out of this world, and I'm looking forward to this match with John Cena, because this will solidify Bray Wyatt as a top guy if he wasn't there already.
I don't think he has to win, but he has to do really well, and the thing that concerns me is, one of my biggest criticisms with John Cena is John Cena only brings it when he feels like bringing it. Does he feel like bringing it for Bray Wyatt? Because he does with The Rock, he does with the CM Punk. Will he in the fourth match from the top on a WrestleMania against Bray Wyatt? I have my doubts. I think we get a five moves of doom, terrible performance from John Cena, and that's not good news if you're Bray Wyatt. What is good news, and we criticize the WWE about their long-term booking, but they have gotten one thing right. Whoever the person is that is writing the stuff for The Shield, they need to be put in charge of creative and run everything, because it's been brilliant.
It's been really good, man. I mean, it looks like now that we're going to get a triple threat between Reigns and Rollins and Ambrose, possibly for the United States Championship at WrestleMania. I think that's going to steal the show. I mean, they had a match, a triple threat back in when they were in Florida Championship Wrestling, which I really liked, when Roman Reigns was Layaki, and he was putting up his hand and whatnot. But, yeah, I think the booking's been great, and this past Monday night on Raw, when they had Seth Rollins, of all people, walk out on Ambrose and Reigns, I think that gives Rollins a little bit of a boost, because from as of late, it was mostly about the tension between Ambrose and Reigns, and it was Rollins who was playing peacemaker. But now that Rollins is kind of getting his little rub from this, you can have a triple threat. If that does happen, which I really do think it is, I think you put Rollins over. You have him win the United States Championship, because I think the plans for Roman Reigns are above and beyond that, the mid-card title. I think they want to push him into the main event scene right away. So I think you give Rollins the belt, have him feud with Ambrose. I don't know what you can do there, but I'm eagerly looking forward to this match.
He's that guy John Cena's got to look over his shoulder at.
Roman Reigns. For sure.
He is the guy, because the girls love him. The guys think he's cool. He's got all the stuff
to be
the man. And he even has The Rock as a relative. I mean, it's all there. But the one thing you did point out, and I think it was critical, Seth Rollins, everyone was saying, he's the guy. When this all breaks apart, I don't know. I think he's going to be in trouble, because Ambrose can talk. He'll be fine. Reigns is going to be Mr. Everything. Seth Rollins was that guy that everyone was worried about, but I think the way they booked this, now Seth Rollins has a story coming out of this as well. And now it seems pretty clear, once this breakup does in fact materialize, no one's sticking together. It seems we're getting Roman Reigns on his own, Dean Ambrose on his own, and Seth Rollins on his own. That will be interesting, because I think all three of these guys potentially can be big stars and have skills to be big stars. Seth Rollins is the guy that I'd be the most worried about, but lately he's been the guy who's been the standout on this team.
Yeah, some of his performances in the matches with the Wyatt family have been great. He's full of energy. His high-flying moves get over with the crowd, but I think his peak in the company could be, you know, a mid to upper mid-card kind of guy, possibly fighting for the Intercontinental Championship. I think he has a future as a face. I think the future looks brighter for Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose, but it's just a weird situation right now. I personally don't want to see the Shield break up. I don't think this is the time to do it, but obviously all three guys have such bright futures. I could see why they're doing it.
Do you think long, long, long term here, this is one of those things that, like we see with a D-Generation X, with an Evolution, with some other factions we've seen in the past, where it's constantly something we're going to see go back to as we go along through the years, that these three guys, despite if they break up now, are always going to be somehow eerily connected, be it facing one another, getting back together. I think they are that type of group that we could see emerge, reemerge constantly throughout their WWE careers.
And no one's going to complain, because the Shield has been awesome ever since they've come at Survivor Series a couple of years ago. I love the group. It's one of the best factions they've had in a long, long time. I just hope that when they break off into their solo careers, we don't see them straddled with any crappy gimmicks, because that's what I'm worried about most, especially for a guy like Dean Ambrose. Just let Roman Reigns be the badass with the long hair, howling to the crowd. Let Dean Ambrose be like the Heath Ledger Joker kind of character who's great on the mic. And let Seth Rollins be the high flyer who gets over with the fans just by his athleticism. I think that can work. Just keeping it simple works.
Yeah. Simple in wrestling sometimes isn't a bad thing. It's sometimes the best thing. And they don't do nearly enough of that nowadays. One of the things, too, I think it's an easy thing to draw back on, because, you know, let's say you ran an angle where all three of those guys were having their struggles within the storyline. Hey, you know, when were we at our best? When we were all together. And you just bring them back together, and they run roughshod on the WWE for a while again, and then they remember why they hated each other. Just kind of like that relationship that never quite ends. You know, you go back to the girl, and everything's good for a few months, and then you break up again. It can be that thing for years and years, I think, with the Shield.
So if we do end up getting a triple threat at WrestleMania, which I seriously think is going to happen, who would you have go over?
I think because he needs it the most, it's probably Seth Rollins.
I agree. I would.
And Dean Ambrose has had that belt forever, and really, that belt isn't doing anyone any favors right now. I think it's become a prop. I think whoever comes out of it really needs to go after the Intercontinental Champion and then just become the IC champ and do away with that belt.
And if Roman Reigns is going to be the successor to John Cena, the last thing you want to do is put a title on him that means absolutely nothing.
Well, I mean, you know, you could build it up and make it mean something again with Roman Reigns.
I don't know about that. They tried that with Cesaro. They tried that with Dean Ambrose. And look what happened. It just basically got forgotten about.
But Roman Reigns is on a different level. Like, he's been treated on a different level by creative, too. I think you could obviously do it with him, but it would take something that's a real long-term investment thing. Like, I'm talking, like, Roman Reigns needs to have an RVD-like run with the belt that, like, he had in ECW with, I think it was the ECW television title, I think.
Right.
Where he had it for, like, 15 months. Roman Reigns needs a run like that and not a run where he's not defending the belt. I mean a run where we see Roman Reigns defending that belt so much, we are like, okay, come on.
Yeah,
like, we've seen Intercontinental title matches for the last 5 weeks. Give Roman a little break, put him in a tag, do something. That kind of a run where he's just so dominant and hangs on to that belt, and then basically kind of like we saw way back in the day with the Ultimate Warrior, he was so big for that belt that, hey, I'm big enough, I want to be the world champion. Screw this belt.
Mm-hmm. And that's what the mid-card titles were always meant to do. If you were the Intercontinental Champion back in the day, that was the company telling you that you were going to be a future world heavyweight champion. But now you never see the belt defended on pay-per-views or television. I want that to change. I want the United States or Intercontinental title, or if they merge them completely, I want it to matter again, especially because there's only one world champion now with Randy Orton holding both belts.
Well, proof positive, we're talking about WrestleMania. The Intercontinental Champion is Big E Langston.
It's Big E now, no Langston.
No, buddy. I'm calling him Langston. I'm calling Antonio Cesaro and Big E Langston. I'm going to be a jerk like that if people have a problem with that.
All right, go ahead.
You know, whatever. But Big E Langston, whatever you want to call him, if you want to be a WWE sheep and call him Big E, by all means, go do that. But the point being, when you look at Big E, would it shock you if he's on the pre-show of WrestleMania with the Intercontinental title?
It wouldn't shock me, but the way I see things, I'm going for a triple threat right now. I think you don't really want to go with Cesaro and Jack Swagger one-on-one. I don't think Cesaro is over that much yet to earn him a face spot in an undercard match at WrestleMania. I think the way you get around that, especially with his involvement in the Real American feud as of late, has Big E put the Intercontinental title on the line against both Cesaro and Jack Swagger main card.
No, no, he's fine. All Cesaro has to do, giant swing on Zeb, that match is gold. That's the spot that makes that match. But my point being, I wasn't going to get into what was going to happen with Big E in the belt. My point is this, though. The Intercontinental title on the pre-show.
Right.
And you look at 30 years of WrestleMania. What's one of the first matches that pops into everyone's head when you think the history of WrestleMania involving that belt?
Steamboat and Savage at WrestleMania 3.
Exactly. The best match for some people in the history of this business, and now we have that belt being defended on a pre-show that didn't even exist back then, and it means nothing. Like, it's just sad. Like, it just doesn't mean what it used to mean. And the reason for that, I mean, everyone understands why. It's those two belts that Randy Orton has. That big gold one became your Intercontinental title. And even then, it became weaker than the Intercontinental title because the people that held that belt did a terrible job. I mean, Alberto Del Rio, you didn't do much for me as the world heavyweight champion. Dolph Ziggler, everyone was excited when you got it, but that didn't work out so well. And just on and on. And to the point, when John Cena won that belt, everyone was like, oh, come on, that's like That's beneath Cena. He can't have that belt.
But he was going to possibly bring it up, and that never worked either. He didn't make the belt any more important. Just
oh, no, they just gave it to him to unify it. Let's make no mistake about that. There was no plan to rehabilitate the gold belt that once belonged to WCW that Ric Flair gave them.
Yeah,
there was no plan to do that. But, yeah, it's weird. The whole dynamic of titles is so different now. Another thing, too, I mean, the Usos have just won the tag team titles. The tag team titles used to be a big deal at WrestleMania. This year, who are the Usos fighting? Does anyone care?
No, I don't care. I think the belts are ugly to begin with.
The penny belts are bad,
They just look awful. I mean, if I had a guess right now, I mean, you could probably throw multiple teams into a match at WrestleMania. Maybe the Usos, you got Harper and Rowan. We don't know what they're going to be doing. You got the Rhodes Dynasty, maybe the Outlaws. I don't know. I don't really care. This isn't the era when we had such great matches with the Hardys and the Dudleys and Edge and Christian. That time is over. What we're getting now is so subpar. I think the Usos, look, don't, anyone who's listening to this, don't get on my butt. I think the Usos are overrated. I think they're just one-trick ponies. They're great in the ring. They had one great promo. And that was, they weren't even in front of the fans when that happened. So, you know what? Tag Team Championship, that whole division needs to change. And that was a division that Triple H wanted to put more of an emphasis on, and that's failed miserably, too.
So we're not going to say, ooh, and you're going to say, oh, on this show?
No, I'm not saying any of that crap.
Well, that's very disappointing.
I'm sorry.
but to your point, I think the Usos had a good thing going, sadly enough, because of Total Divas. Because I think having the one Uso on there really allowed him to get himself over as a person and a man and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that did them a great service. And for whatever reason, they picked up their game since then, too. I think they really bring it in the ring now. Where I think they were just kind of going through the motions before, where they were just out there when they were out there. And, you know, whether it be they were on Raw, they were on Main Event, they were on Superstars, it was kind of the same old thing with them. But I think for whatever reason, maybe the more exposure with Total Divas, whatever it was, they seemed to pick up their game. And not only did they pick up their game, creative was behind them in that too, because, well, one of these guys is featured on this show we're trying to get over, Total Divas, so, hey, you know, if we can have bad women's matches for like 6 months, we can at least give the Usos a push.
That's fine. I mean, I like the Usos in the ring. They can go in the ring, and I think one of their matches last year, I believe, on the Money in the Bank pre-show when they fought Rollins and Reigns for the tag team titles, I thought that was one of the best matches of the year. But at the same time, watching them on Raw, I know the Chicago fans popped heavily when they pinned the Outlaws and won the tag team titles. I didn't really care. I'm not much of an Usos fan. I can't explain it. There's just something missing to that team that's making me not give a damn.
Well, there you go. I'm not an Emma fan, so, you know.
You don't like Emma?
I do not like Emma.
Not the dance? That doesn't get over with you, eh?
No, I am not a fan of the dance. I am not a fan of her as a worker. I don't think she's as good a worker as everyone gives her credit for.
She's better than anyone on the in the division.
Oh,
right,
no,
now,
like,
except for AJ.
Let's put it this way. You could move up the entire NXT women's division and replace everyone except maybe AJ and Natalya and start the women's division over.
Oh, what are they waiting for? There's so much talent in NXT right now. They got Sasha Banks. They got who is the Flair's daughter? Is that Charlotte?
Yes, Charlotte. And in fact, they're actually tweaking her gimmick now in NXT. And boy, oh boy, wrestling fans will have a lot of fun with this one. They are now calling her the dirtiest diva in the game. Wrestling fans are not going to take anything sexually out of that at all, I'm sure.
Of course not.
But God. They actually paired her with Flair this week on NXT. Flair was actually there, and funny enough, she was booked against Emma, and they did a whole angle with Flair and her, and it was taped after the NXT arrival, and it was interesting, because I think the one thing, if you're going to involve Flair with Charlotte, it's going to be very hard for Ric Flair not to steal every scene that she's in.
Yeah, that's true. You know, that's how Ric Flair is. He's always got to be the center of attention. But now it's about his daughter, and she's got a great build. She can go in the ring. And like we talked about just a second ago, just replace everyone on the WWE Women's Division right now and just bring everyone from NXT up. It's such night and day. It's frustrating because those are the women I want to see competing, not what we're getting right now.
But at least, on the positive, at least we've added a worker to Total Divas. Because I think Summer Rae, I forgot about her being up on the main roster. She can actually wrestle. So AJ, Summer Rae, and Natalya, I'm fine with. Everyone else, you can...
Let's get rid of them.
Yeah, you can go do the bikini search model thing or whatever it is you do when you're not pretending to be a wrestler. And the one person... I want rid of is Oksana. How is that girl employed?
Yeah.
She killed one of the Funkadactyls for real.
Yeah, she did. Poor Naomi. God.
Yeah, and that was another girl, actually, not currently able to work, but that's another girl on the roster that they had some hope for. Could at least do a few things, and you know, maybe you could hold out some hope that could work. And now she's not wrestling. And, oh, by the way, she's paired up with the Uso, who got the big push. So that's not working out well for Total Divas, I mean.
What are the Divas going to do at WrestleMania?
I think we see AJ versus Tamina. That's the only thing that they've...
No.
That's the only thing that they've teased, unless we're going to get some stupid Total Divas match thrown at us, like, out of the blue. Really, they haven't booked anything. Like, AJ's been hidden because of Punk, so we haven't really seen her on TV a lot because they don't want to draw out the CM Punk fans. So it's a very awkward situation. I suppose you could go AJ Lee and Natalya, but I don't think many people want to see that.
No, no one wants to see that.
So, I mean, AJ versus Tamina seems to be the thing that they were at least teasing the last couple times we saw AJ.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think I want to see that either, but it's the only thing that seems to make any sense other than do you rush Paige up and have Paige challenge AJ?
Yeah, you could do champion versus champion. I was thinking about that, too. It's wishful booking and fantasy booking, but I think now that NXT is on the WWE Network, you could probably have it happen, and you have an excuse for it. It's not like no one knows who Paige is now.
The only problem is... these two girls basically run the same gimmick. They are both kind of the anti-diva. Because AJ thinks she's above all the people on Total Divas. And Paige's whole gimmick is she is the anti-diva. One of the things I heard rumored, which is totally bizarre, and I don't know how this would work. But there was rumors she was going to come and be part of the Wyatt family.
Paige?
Yes, she was going to be Sister Abigail.
Oh, God.
That would be... I don't know how that would work.
I don't think that would work at all.
It might. I just don't know how it would work.
I think she's better off just being her own woman and saving the division, let's face it, because Lord knows it needs it.
Okay, we didn't get to talk about the Hall of Fame today, but one of the people going in the Hall of Fame is Lita. Lita, as some people might know, Amy Dumas, dated one CM Punk. AJ Lee now currently dates CM Punk. I see money in a match here, and I see some bitter, bitter feelings. Who better to get in between these two women than the UFC Women's Bantamweight Champion, Ronda Rousey?
Oh, man. They even had, during one of like Lita's old DVDs, they had a young, and I'm talking young, AJ Lee come up to her doing an autograph session, and she was just like bawling in tears because she was such a big Lita fan. Like, that would be so good. Lita versus AJ Lee. She's already going to be there for the Hall of Fame, you know, one more match. At least it would make me care about a Divas match at WrestleMania, because right now you can throw anybody against Lee, and I will not give a damn.
And all levels work on this, because you don't have to delve into the private stuff, especially if CM Punk's not part of the company.
But all know it.
But all the wrestling fans that are in the know already know that, so... They're hooked in. You're hardcore wrestling fans. just your casual wrestling fans that don't care about any of that or don't even know about any of that, they're in because you've got the current women's champion against the one of the legends of all time in the women's division. They're going to buy in. And, oh, then, by the way, you want your outside people that the WWE is always trying to draw attention from? Who is bigger in the world right now than Ronda Rousey? The girl is coming out in like 3 or 4 movies. I mean, if we're bringing Batista back for being in some stupid little cartoon movie or comic book movie.
Hey, don't hate on Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm going to be seeing that on the opening day. Not for Batista, though. Just in general. I'm a Marvel guy.
Fine, but he's doing one movie. Ronda Rousey's going to be in 3, maybe 4. I'm opening up my checkbook if I'm Vince McMahon. Oh, and by the way, you'd probably get Dana White mad at you, too. So that would be another bonus.
Win-win.
Vince, sign the check. Give Ronda a ton of money. And I guarantee that match will sell and draw in a big way.
We have such good ideas.
We really do. I mean, but that one, admittedly, I'm sure there's a lot of hurdles to making that match happen.
Right.
Because obviously Dana White, I don't think, would be a fan of his bantamweight champion going to WrestleMania and being not just there, but in the ring. Although Dana doesn't seem to mind when the WWE guys come to his shows.
Yeah, but at the same time, they're sitting there watching. They're not in the ring, and they could possibly get hurt. Although,
oh, Ronda's not going to get hurt as the referee in a match. I mean, Ronda could kill both people in the match, let's be honest. I mean, no offense to Amy Dumas or AJ Lee, but Ronda Rousey, she can actually kick your ass.
Yeah, there you go.
So there you have it. We have booked the... And you know what? Screw Batista and Randy Orton. That is your main event. The Divas Championship on top at WrestleMania. There you have it. The fans were chanting they want Divas, right?
Yeah, exactly. They were at the NXT. They were like,
I am giving the people I am giving the people what you want. You said you want Divas, I'm giving you the best Divas on the planet and the baddest woman on the planet all in the same match.
So good.
What can you do with that? Lots of fun. But hey, if there was ever a chance of a Divas title match being up on the card, that's the way you get it there.
That's the only way you can do it. Only way you can do it.
Hey, at least to get them more than 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's true. Otherwise, it's just going to be a quick bathroom break, and you won't even be able to go and grab a drink by the time it's over. So
yeah, now you can take your bathroom break during Alberto Del Rio's match, whatever that'll be. Or Christian versus Sheamus.
Yeah, there we go. That's
we didn't talk about at all, but apparently that's going to be a WrestleMania match, too.
Yeah, sure. It's not like we've seen that on Raw and SmackDown the last couple of weeks. Lord knows I want to see it again.
But they're building the hype towards you wanting to see the final confrontation.
Oh, failing miserably.
Yes. So is this WrestleMania. Hopefully this podcast is not. I've been having a lot of fun. I hope people are having as much fun listening as we have been doing it. So with that said, maybe our opinions will change. The road to WrestleMania is not done, so you know, stuff could happen. Ronda Rousey could come out of the crowd with CM Punk, and you know, everything could be saved. Actually, we didn't get into all the Hall of Fame stuff. One of the things, when we do get back with you, we'll talk about with the Hall of Fame, do we see Undertaker there? Normally never there, but Paul Bearer is going in.
Right now...
No, we're leaving that. We're not talking about that. That's the tease.
There's the tease.
Because we're going to talk Hall of Fame next time. We'll talk about the Ultimate Warrior. Will he kill Hulk Hogan? Will Hulk Hogan induct him? Will Jake the Snake bring Damian and attack the Warrior with him? All these things that could happen. And Lita will be there, too, who will be classy. Well, actually, no. Maybe she gets in a fight with AJ Lee. Maybe we set up her angle right there at the Hall of Fame.
They're on opposite ends of the building if they know what's good for them.
CM Punk comes out of the crowd, breaks it up. There it is.
Do we see CM Punk being there?
I don't know. I don't think he's going to go, but, I mean, normally he would be there, right? AJ Lee's there. It's his ex-girlfriend going in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, that's going to be interesting.
And, yeah, well, I think I just talked myself out of why he won't be there. Forget about all this contract nonsense. That alone would be awkward.
I'm more interested about who's in the audience for the WWE Hall of Fame ceremony than I am for the apparent main event of WrestleMania 30.
No, because you see, if we can't get Ronda Rousey, CM Punk will guest referee the Divas match.
Oh my God.
That'll be his role at WrestleMania. Facing Triple H to refereeing the Divas match.
That's how you make him suffer for leaving in the first place.
Yes, some people would say that is appropriate in some regards. And other people would say Punk might not actually mind that gig. This was fun. And thank you for putting over my Randy Savage impression. I really appreciate that.
Absolutely, man. I love the impression. I want to hear what else you got in store for me, buddy.
Well, we can do it every week, the Randy Savage impression, because I just can't get enough of it. In fact, we will do the damn impression every friggin' week until he gets in the Hall of Fame, because he should be in the Hall of Fame. Till next time. I was going to say next year, but we'll be back before next year, I swear. We will talk to you then next week, talking Hall of Fame and more crazy, wacky wrestling stuff.